This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, you have conquered the week. Put a smile ear to ear on your face. It is weekend time. It is Good Friday. Wishing everybody a wonderful Good Friday today as we head headlong into Easter weekend. And we're going to have a great show tonight on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We have Attorney General questions. What about Ken Paxton? Certainly qualified, right? Legals, illegals. Can we flip the foreigners to our side? Someone wants to know. Someone wants to talk about the Marines. Someone wants to talk about Heavy D. What about Ron DeSantis for AG? Are him and Trump still enemies? All that and so much more coming up in the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. That's just this hour. I mean, I don't even know where we're going to go from there. We're just going to keep chopping away at your questions. All right, so let's do this one. Jesse, if the swamp offered Attorney General Ken Paxton to get him to drop out and save John Cornyn, is that a good deal? And I've heard this many times over the last 24 hours. I've heard people toss this out there. John Cornyn, useless swampy rhino loser, looks like he's heading towards a primary loss in Texas. John Thune and all the other worthless swampy rhino losers are desperate to save him. What if they come and tell Donald Trump, hey, we will confirm Ken Paxton as the Attorney General. You just have to back John Cornyn. Ken Paxton drops out. John Cornyn's a United States Senator. Would I take that deal? Not in a million years. The primarying of John Cornyn is one of the most important things happening in the United States of America today in order to save the United States of America today. And I'm not even close to being over the top about that. Allow me to explain myself. We know Democrats are now communists. They're sick, demonic, and evil. We got that. We know that we are sadly stuck with the GOP as that is the only, I mean, are we even going to call them an opposition party? The only thing that's kind of halfway an opposition party. We know that. But we need a better GOP. We need an anti-communist GOP. And right now, why don't we have things like the SAVE Act passed? Why can't we get good attorney generals confirmed? Why can't we? As I've explained time and time and time again, there is a relatively small cabal of GOP senators from red states. And what do? They'll vote with us most of the time. You know, put a piece of tax legislation in front of them, gun legislation, something like that. Most of the time, they'll vote how you want them to vote. But if there's ever an opportunity to really, truly wound the communists and the communist revolution in this country, in that moment, they'll step up and, well, I mean, it just wouldn't be right. Look, we have to do things the right way here. You want an example? Donald Trump can't get judges confirmed. As I've said, we're always mad at the criminals, and justifiably so. You know, some guy's been arrested 50 times, butchers a woman on the subway. We're mad about it. Okay. That's fair. But it is the judges in the United States of America who are the sword and shield of the communist revolution. As I've explained before, Bukele did not save El Salvador because he threw monsters in a dungeon. He openly admits it publicly. He saved El Salvador because he dumped the judges who kept all the corruption in place. The judges are the problem. The judges are the problem. The judges are the problem. Well, you ever heard of a blue slip? Allow me to explain what it is. This is not a law. This is not a rule. This is nothing but a tradition in the United States Senate. And the tradition is this. Let's say I'm President Donald Trump. I'm President Donald Trump, and I want this great constitutionalist judge in New Jersey. That's my pick for New Jersey. Well, the blue slip tradition is this. If either of the senators from New Jersey object to my pick, I don't get my pick. They just stop it. Remember, I need to emphasize this. Not a rule, not a law, nothing. Chuck Grassley, GOP senator from Red State, Chuck Grassley, along with loser John Thune, they refuse to waive the blue slip process, and because Democrats are such demonic communists now, they're blocking all of Trump's judges. Trump can't get any judges in there. There is a relatively small cabal of GOP senators aiding and abetting the communist revolution in the United States of America. I know Attorney General is really, really important. There is nothing more important right now than sending a message to that group of losers in the GOP Senate that we can and will remove one of them. They continue to do these things because they've always gotten away with these things. Why? People always screamed at John Cornyn because after that Uvalde school shooting, John Cornyn worked with Democrats on gun control. And people kept saying things like, he's so dumb. He's so dumb. How you can't get away with that in Texas. He's so dumb. Well, he may be dumb. He may not be dumb, but he knows history. And the history shows that in red states, Republicans don't show up and vote out incumbents in the primary. They don't even show up for the primary most of the time. And the ones that do are the morons watching the quote, right-wing cable networks. And they vote for the dork senator they see on there every night. Well, I saw Lindsey Graham. John Cornyn, call him dumb if you want, but John Cornyn figured GOP primary voters were too stupid and lazy to punish him for his sins. Now, what if we could punish one for their sins? It's more than just one seat in the United States Senate. It's honestly not even about Ken Paxton. It's not me standing up and cheering. It's not that. This is about sending a message to the low-T GOP that we are freaking done with this crap. We are done with them keeping the foot in the door so we can never slam it on the communist revolution in this country. And these senators, so many of them, they have the game figured out. I mentioned John Kennedy. Over, they have the game figured out of crack a joke, seem personable, get up there, drop a funny one-liner. And the GOP primary voter in Iowa and Louisiana and Wyoming and wherever. Wah-ha-ha, he's such a cut-up. Love my senator. Woo, he makes me laugh. It has worked for a very, very long time. I'm telling you, primarying John Cornyn might be as important as the midterm elections coming in November. It seriously, it might be that important. We have to start punishing the losers in the GOP in a primary. And it's so, so difficult to primary a senator because it takes so much money to run for Senate It's a statewide office. You have to spend a fortune telling people who you are, telling people why they should vote for you, telling people the other guy is the spawn of Satan. It just takes millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. And most human beings cannot raise those funds. They don't personally have those funds. You're not going to be able to primary every GOP senator because the option isn't there. As I've explained many times before, what happens? We get 10 candidates. No one. Everyone's too selfish to drop out of the race. Instead of one guy with the name ID and the financial backing and the ability to raise the money to primary a senator, it's extremely rare. Attorney General? Attorney General will be gone in 3 years. We don't know who will come next. We don't know who's going to win the White House, but whoever is the next Attorney General will be gone in 3 years. John Cornyn can be gone for life in a primary. For life. It's really, really important. All right, let's move on. These foreigners, can we win them over to our side? Hang on.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing, amazing Friday. And Ask Dr. Jesse Friday in a good Friday. In fact, before we get to this topic about the foreigners, I thought I could drop some gruesome knowledge on you here really quickly. You ready for some gruesome knowledge? Crucifixion, since it's a good Friday. Crucifixion was actually practiced by several ancient societies, and a lot of people do not realize how truly brutal it was. Roman citizens, they wouldn't do it to them. It was like, yeah, no, we'll cut your head off. We'll do all kinds of things to you. We won't crucify you. Why? They're just hanging there. Now, I know it doesn't look very pleasant, but they're just hanging there. Well, it's the prolonged suffering of it. You see, first of all, flogging. You've read ancient stories about flogging, flogging this, flogging that. Speaking of the Romans, if you know anything about guys like Julius Caesar, they'd flog people to death. Okay, well, what is it? Is it just a whip? No, it's not just a whip. You have a handle, right? You have a handle, and it has several whips coming out the end of it, okay? What was on the end of these whips differed, totally differed. Oftentimes, there were balls, like lead balls, on the end of it. Sometimes, on top of the lead balls, that's right, Chris, there were hooks on the lead ball, a blade, a miniature blade of some kind on the lead ball. We are not talking about a whipping. We're not talking about your grandma grabbing a switch and putting it over your backside because you got a little too mouthy. We are talking physical trauma and anguish like you cannot believe. It was not uncommon at all for people to die while being flogged. Yes, that's what they did to Jesus. Flogged the daylights out of him. Did you ever wonder why, if you read that crucifixion story, why would he collapse? Because he had to carry his cross. One, they were big and heavy, but why would he collapse? Jesus was undoubtedly physically strong. He was essentially a stonemason. They call him a carpenter, but he was a stonemason. Jesus was a physical beast, probably, just because how physical his job was, how physical his life was. What, he can't carry a cross? He probably had so much blood loss and trauma at that point in time, he could barely even function. And that's before they get you up to the cross. Now they get you up to the cross. They nail you to it. Obviously, not pleasant, but believe it or not, that's not the friggin' worst of it. When they hoist you up, because of the way your diaphragm works and because of how they have your arms out there, if you just slump, if you just sit there without engaging any of your muscles, you suffocate. You can't take in any air. You suffocate. Well, remember, you have a nail in your feet. or nails in your ankles. You've probably seen it displayed several ways. That's because it was done in several different ways. I don't know that we know how they did it to Jesus. I don't know that. I don't know that we have historical confirmation, but there were nails down there somewhere. Yeah, you have to stand up on that in order to breathe. Maybe you're curious about the story where the guy's going through, the Roman soldier is going through, and he's breaking their legs. Only he doesn't do that to Jesus. Instead, he chooses to stab them. Why is he breaking their legs? That's a little over the top, right? It was actually, believe it or not, an act of mercy. It was not uncommon to be crucified for days. You're out there dying of exposure, but you don't want to die. Survival instinct being what it is, you keep putting pressure on those legs and standing up so you can take in a breath. When they wanted you to finally die already, they would break your legs so you were unable to stand up, and then you would simply suffocate. He goes by, chooses not to break Jesus' legs, stabs Jesus in the side, as you know, you are well aware of it. I didn't mean to get quite that gruesome, but I wanted you to understand that crucifixion was truly, I'm trying to think. Chris, Corey, have we talked about a more brutal way to die? The thing is, it's the length of time. Because maybe right now you're thinking, well, burning somebody alive obviously would not be pleasant. It's over in minutes. Now, it's terrible, don't get me wrong. Terrible. I'm very, very bad. Not saying it's fine, but it's over in minutes. Days of suffering. Maybe the only thing that I've ever heard of that comes close would be scaphism, the boats. That's what Chris thinks, it's scaphism. That's probably even worse. Chris says it's close. It would be. It would be close. But again, the horrible thing about scaphism, the boats, it was an old Persian way to die, way to kill people. It's the length of time. You're just laying out there in your own filth while bugs eat you from the inside. It's the prolonged suffering of it. Anyway, I know that was a little awful and gruesome, but I thought, being as how it was Good Friday, you might like to know how your Lord and Savior died on your behalf on this day. Not a pleasant way to go at all. Again, they wouldn't even do it to Roman citizens. Romans did it to people, and they're all, not for us. That's definitely for other people. All right, now we can have a little chitty chat about these foreigners. If we're stuck with them, can we just win them over? Maybe go on we'll tell them about our values. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Dear Bronco, if ultimately we cannot prevent or reduce the current flood of legal and illegal immigrants, which the Democrats depend on as their new voter base, would it be smart for conservatives to develop a strategy to turn those immigrants into Republican voters instead? Says his name is Ralph. Would it be smart? Well, yes and no. Let me explain. There are already immigrant groups in this country who are natural Republican groups. And they're natural Republican because of the values they already had when they got here. Allow me to explain. Cubans. Cubans are natural Republicans, generally vote Republican, not all the time. Why? Well, Cubans understandably freaking hate communists. They hate them with a hatred that you and I probably don't even understand unless you're Cuban or Soviet or something like that. They hate communists. They can see what the Democrat Party is. There is a reason the Biden administration brought in every scumbag from every corner of the globe, but they actually cracked down a bit on the Cubans. Remember that story? Hey, no. We need more people from Somalia. No Cubans, though. No. Why? Well, they understood a Cuban import is likely going to be a Republican voter, or at least there's a good chance they're going to be. So you have to be careful with that, right? So that's a natural fit. Doesn't mean it's always going to work out that way. There's Cuban commies here in the United States of America. I get that. But that's a natural fit, right? Another, just, you know what, Latinos in general. Why? Well, my buddy, I've told you this many times before, my buddy Luis is a hardcore righty. And, you know, his immediate family, they're all hardcore righties. However, he's a freaking Mexican, so he's got about 8,000 relatives, and they all have 8,000 kids, and so he has this huge extended family. Again, he's a Mexican. Virtually all Democrats for their entire lives, his parents, his grandparents, all Democrats their entire lives. Until recently. Why? Well, they're all Catholic. Again, they're Mexicans. They're all Catholic. Only, we're not talking about just an Easter Sunday Catholic. These are people who, they attend Mass. They are Catholic. Well, as soon as Democrats decided to gay up every freaking thing they could get their hands on, everything's a rainbow flag, everything has to be gay, everything has to be tranny, well, you grossed all those people out. Now, his entire extended family, for the most part, they're all hardcore Republicans. Democrats ran them out. Now, that doesn't mean you go down to Mexico and you snatch up another 100,000 Mexicans and bring them in. That's not that. But the ones you have here, there is a natural fit to that. There is a natural fit. Doesn't mean it's always going to work out that way. They're only about 50-50. The Latinos in the country are about 50-50. 50% damn roughly, 50% Republican. Didn't used to be that way. That's us having gained a lot of ground with those people. That's a natural fit. But you don't want to pander to anybody. And if you find yourself having to pander to people, then you've imported too many. Now let's go to the flip side of the coin. Why do we rant about places like Somalia so much? Because the people in Somalia are absolutely wretched. The culture of Somalia is disgusting and wretched. The way they abuse women in that country is disgusting. The way, you can go talk to anybody who's been there, they steal everything. It's what you do. It's just what you do. Remember, we've had this discussion before, is that's just their culture. It would never, they don't share your values at all. That's their culture. You find something, you steal it. That's right, Chris. No value of human life. No thought of that's yours. I shouldn't take it. It's that's yours. I should figure out a way to take it. After all, that's what you do. Well, you're never going to win that person over because they don't share. There's no overlap of values for anything decent at all. You have to keep them out. The number of people you should take in from Somalia is zero. Zero. And I mean never one, ever, for any reason at all. And granted, nobody can be mean today. No one wants to be offensive. But that should be the answer. Pakistan, great example of this. Saw a video yesterday, some Pakistani guy was trying to rape a 13-year-old girl and was not hiding from it. They asked him about it, and he basically just said, yeah, I saw her and I liked her. Anybody who comes from a culture where girls, women are prey, property. You never take a single one of them ever for any reason. Oh, but there's got to be some good people in there. I'm sure there are some good people in there, and they should go make Pakistan great again. If you ever, now they do the best they can to hide these statistics, but if you ever look at, for instance, the rape statistics of Europe, there are studies out there where they've broken it down by country, where the imports come from. There are places, Afghans are probably the worst, the Afghanis. There are places where the overwhelming number of rapes in the country, they're just guys who come from Afghanistan. Because it's what they do. Their value system is that where women are simply property. If you see one, you just grab her and you take her. You're never going to convince that guy that the Constitution is wonderful. You have to keep him out of your country. And if he gets to your country, legally or otherwise, you have to find a way to get him out. He has to leave this country. There are cultures around the world that there may be some overlap with us. You know, the Afrikaners, Donald Trump brought in, I think it was 1,500. That's not an exact number, but I think it was like 1,500. Who are they? They were these white farmers in South Africa. South Africa is currently being conquered by black race communists, and they're butchering the white farmers as fast as they can. So Donald Trump brought these people in. Well, did you hear about all the crimes they've committed so far? No, you haven't, because they haven't committed any. They came here. They believe in God, country, family. They showed up here. They're just going to school, going to work, going to church on Sunday. That there's an overlap there. But people are so concerned about being called racist and things like that, they won't simply just lay out things like that. No, you're not allowed to come here. Why? Because your culture is disgusting. Therefore, I don't want you in my country because I believe you are poison for my country. You, okay, if you work really hard and you do everything right, you can probably come here because your culture in your country is actually decent. So if you've worked really hard for it and you've gone through all the steps, we're not just going to hand out citizenship because American citizenship should be treasured. We're not just going to hand it out. But if you work really hard and you do all the right things, then you can certainly come here. There should just simply be a laundry list of countries where we never take anybody in ever. But what about refugees? Too bad. So sad. Go somewhere else. Oh, asylum. Yep. Seek that somewhere else. Sounds good. Sorry, but that's how it has to be. And why am I so mean? Yeah, that's right, Chris. Never Italians. Never. No, quit. But why am I so mean? Because I love my country. I love my country, so I believe in restricting access to it. You can always tell how much you love something by how much you restrict access to it. That's why you closely guard who you let in your home, because you love it. Let's talk about Save Act. Why even bother voting Republican? Next.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing Friday, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you can get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's get back to these. Jesse, I have to ask, why should any of us vote for Republicans when they can't even be bothered to pass the SAVE Act, which will help them keep their seats? If they care so little about those seats, maybe the GOP should be wiped out in the midterms in 2028, right? His name is Brian. I certainly understand why you feel that way. Why even bother voting Republican? They won't do this. They won't do that. So screw them, right? In Russia, before the communist revolution, the situation was, the Tsar had chosen to get involved in World War I. He was gathering up Russians, many of them against their will, and he was sending them off to fight in the horrible lines of World War I, where many of them were butchered. Butchered. Can't even imagine the death. The people who were working in the urban Russian centers, so many of them were starving.
They just weren't getting enough food for themselves, their kids. And under the czar, they had a secret police agency. They were out there trying to make sure there was never a rebellion, there was never a revolution, and they were doing all the things the secret police agencies do. That is a terrible situation for a citizen. Eventually, there was, as you know, a communist revolution where the Bolsheviks took over. Okay? After that, the food didn't start coming in. The people started starving to death. After that, the Bolsheviks, once people started starving to death, they opened up the prisons. They gave guns, knives to the rapists and murderers in the prisons. They then formed gangs, and they sent those gangs all over the Soviet Union. And the gangs would simply show up at your farm. They would steal all the food you had. If you had a cow, it was theirs. A chicken was theirs. They would have their way with your wife. Sometimes they'd kill her and you afterwards. Sometimes not. Maybe they'd even take your children off with you. This is when they weren't torturing and killing the priests, raping the nuns. My point in all this is, it can always get worse. You don't vote Republican because Republicans are great. You vote Republican because Democrats are worse. That's why you vote Republican. You vote Republican because Democrats, I heard this, I did not come up with this saying, somebody said it to me once and I don't remember who it was. On a patriotism scale from 0 to 100, Republicans are about a 4 or a 5, but Democrats are definitely a 0. Now, 4 or 5 is a bit disappointing, is it not? Surely we can do better, but it's better than 0. And we have to work really, really hard leading up to the midterms, because it looks like, as it stands right now, we are going to take some losses. There's a chance they're going to be really, really bad losses. Really, really, really bad. And let me tell you something. There's a difference between losing 30 seats and losing 60 seats. How hard we work to try to drag these dumb normies to the polls, how hard we work may be the difference between 30 seats and 60 seats. And you don't work that hard because you love the low-T, useless GOP. You work that hard because you understand it can always get worse. You're frustrated about the SAVE Act, so am I. You're frustrated about this and that and of prices, and so am I. I agree with you. I agree with the frustration wholeheartedly. Democrats are going to impeach Donald Trump, arrest all their political opposition, and bring in 20 million more barbarians so we can never win another election again. That's infinitely worse. I know. Look, I wish I didn't have to come tell you. Well, you can have a poop sandwich or a warmed up poop sandwich. I wish I could give you a ham sandwich. I truly do. Nevertheless, I do not have a ham sandwich in my possession to sell you. So it's poop or warm poop. That's what we're stuck with. Jesse, I figure you had to do this in the Marines, but in your civilian life, do you pee at home outside when no one is watching? I live in rural Alabama. This behavior is just assumed of men. What do you mean when no one's watching? Yeah, I pee outside. What, Chris? What? Oh, Chris. What? Oh, so I forgot about that little story. When I was a kid, we're talking, I bet I was 5 years old. Maybe younger. I don't know. I don't remember this. My parents remember this. My parents had a party at their house. All kinds of people came over, and it was outside. You know, they were just grilling out, having some beer, whatever. And I went up to my dad and told my dad that I had to pee. And I'm sure he looked at me like I was an idiot, and he said, well, we're outside. Just go around to pee. You go around the tree over there and go pee. Apparently, I walked and did a complete circle around the tree and then just dropped my pants facing the entire party and just peed right there. Anyway, back to your question. No, if I'm outside, I'm peeing. And that's the way it is. And Ob is horrified by this fact. Absolutely horrified by this fact. I don't understand. It's outdoors. That's just what you do. Also, Gavin Newsom's wife is amazing.
I've given our boys dolls, even if they tear the head off. I've given them dolls to learn that care and caregiving is not just an activity that's reserved for women, but that it's also an activity that is a responsibility of men. What I've done with both my daughters and my sons is if I'm reading a book and the protagonist is a male, I just change the he to a she. And it just normalizes for my sons in particular. I don't even just do it for my girls. I do it for my sons because I want them to see that women can be the center of a story.
Gavin Newsom is going to get annihilated because of his wife. Anyway, you know what he needs to do? He needs to start a male vitality stack from Chalk right now. What will happen to Gavin over the next 60 to 90 days is his testosterone levels are going to increase. We're talking clinically tested 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days. Once his testosterone levels reach a certain point, then he can pull his wife aside and tell her to shut her freaking mouth and stop destroying his presidential ambitions because she can't avoid the limelight. Anyway, Gavin, this is me trying to help you out. CHOQ.com. You're going to feel strong. You're going to have energy. You're going to be in a great mood. You're going to finally be able to tell your wife to shut up. Chalk.com. Promo code Jesse saves you a fortune, Gavin. And you're going to need the money. Chalk.com. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.